This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Hey, yo.
For over 30 years and still, your inside look into boxing and mixed martial arts.
You know what? As long as she fights at 135 pounds, I don't care if she's injecting a horse demon into her eyeballs.
Heard live around the world and brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. And now, live from the Ring Talk Studios in San Francisco, here's the host of the longest-running fight show in history, Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California, and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And yes, the man was correct. My name is Pedro Fernandez, the often imitated but never duplicated undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio waves, and having defended that title on Fabeticus greater than 35 years. So straight up today, we're having fun. 2 hours of live ring talk on Sports Byline, of course. We'll mix these sports together. I'm talking combat sports, baby. We'll talk mixed martial arts, of course. Khabib, man, the big scandal after Khabib. They're going to take his money. They're going to keep his purse. Why didn't they do something when Conor McGregor almost killed people in New York City? Why was that different? Why was Conor given a pass? We're going to talk about that. Listen, they spit on Khabib. And I say spit with an H. You hear what I'm trying to say? They really spit on him big time. Dana White, the UFC, basically didn't have that. I say the Athletic Commission is probably going to look to strike him, take him down as far as money is concerned in a suspension. But I've got an issue with that, and I'll talk about that in detail. Of course, Johnny Signorello will be here. The Godfather, Larry Merchant, will be here in the second segment today of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So if you'd like to join Larry, you can on the toll-free 1-800-878-PLAY. That's right, the Godfather, Larry Merchant in the house, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, always the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. This next young man, deceased as he is, he bored me one night talking about his son. Who is his son? Academy Award winner Cuba Gooding Jr. This is Cuba Gooding and the Main Ingredient live on Sports Byline.
Crime. You say you even thinking about dying? Well, before you do anything rash, dig this. Everybody plays the fool sometime. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby, it may be factual, maybe cruel. I'm lying.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent, sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
And the big fight is coming up. Ali and Frazier, Muhammad Ali. I call him Muhammad Ali because that's what he wants. Oh, yeah, he's a big dude and he hits hard, you know. I'll call him what he wants. But it's good that he's being allowed to work again. As you know, he couldn't work for 3 years. Of course, he had a strange job beating people up. But that was his right. He could have that job. Government wanted him to change jobs. Government wanted him to kill people. He thought it over and he said, no, that's where I draw the line. I'll beat him up, but I don't want to kill him. And the government told him, well, if you won't kill him, we won't let you beat him up. And it was all because he didn't want to go to Vietnam, and now we're getting out of Vietnam through Laos and Cambodia. But it's got to be the long way. You got to go through China and Russia to get out that way. What are we going to tell them? We'll only be here a short time. Just looking for a trail. Well, maybe they'll go for it. I don't know. Of course, we're only there in Southeast Asia for one reason, to free the people so they can have industry. Isn't that what we do everywhere, I think? We kind of free people and then lay a little industry on them so they can have all the benefits of industry that we have. Oh, beautiful for smoggy skies, insecticided grain, for strip-mined mountains' majesty above the asphalt plain. America, America, man sheds his waste on thee and hides the pines with billboard signs from sea to oily sea.
Now, more Brain Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That's a sobering thought.
The incomparable George Carlin, what can I say? He was like the godfather of satire. And of course, I met the real godfather of satire, Mort Saul, just a few months ago, in Marin County. In fact, he's doing Thursday night appearances on Periscope, some app you can get on the Apple Store or the App Store, whatever's happening. But you can check out Mort Saul. He's 91, almost 92 years old, and he does sit-down comedy. He just can't stand up anymore, but he talks about the world, and he's just an amazing guy. Check him out. He's at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, California, each and every Thursday. Check them out on Periscope at periscope.com. Let's go to Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and bring in, of course, my ace. I'm talking about Johnny Signorella. Johnny, last night, Terrence Crawford went 12 rounds. Tell me this. Was Benavidez anything other than tall, tough, and a guy with long reach?
Well, I tell you what, he has a long reach, but brother, he didn't use it. He didn't fight like a tall man at all. At 6'2", 147 pounds, he didn't fight like a tall fighter at all. And I think that was the key to victory for him to win, is to create that distance, use that reach, use that huge size advantage he had over Crawford, where Crawford stands at 5'8". I like that Crawford went to the body, broke him down, landed that devastating uppercut in round 12, which started the bleeding. And Crawford, being the shark that he is, he smells blood, he finishes you.
Well, all right, and I'll say this to you. There were a couple of guys that Crawford's fought have been decent, but I was looking at his resume yesterday, and there's nothing that jumps out at me. In fact, the best name on the resume that jumped out at me, I thought, was Yuri Gamboa. Of course, was a 126-pounder that fought at 135. But outside of that, you know, I'm just not – there's no Hall of Famers there. So what makes him special if he hasn't been tested yet, and we really don't – what makes him special if he hasn't been tested yet?
Versatility, the fact that he could beat you in a number of ways, athleticism, he could outbox you, he can outbrawl you. He sticks his nose in there. He's a dog. He goes after you, like I said. And he's entertaining in the sense that he finishes you. He hurts you. He doesn't play with his food, Pete. He eats, and he gets you done. You're right. There's no world beaters on his resume. And Dongo was impressive with KO3. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Horn thing, Horn's a gritty, tough guy. Victor Postol was an okay
Johnny, straight up, I'm going to say this again. And it may sound like I'm boasting or bragging or boasting, but my mother said it's never bragging when you think it's the truth. Jeff Horn couldn't have beat me in the Golden Gloves. He could not have made the finals in the Golden Gloves here. He could not have done it. I'm telling you, that's how inferior he is. The fact he beat Manny Pacquiao on a close call, now I understand that. But the fact that Crawford had to go 7 rounds with him and didn't blow him out, just blow him out of the water, is a testament, I think, to Crawford at 147 not being the fighter that he may think he is.
Well, it's cool that you touched on that for a minute, because I felt that way a little bit halfway through the fight last night. I'm like, well, I don't know about his power here. You know, watching him blast this kid Benavides to the body, watching him whack him to the jaw with hooks, I'm like, I don't know about Crawford's power. But he did land that explosive uppercut when they both were going for the uppercut, because Benavides was shooting for that shot too. When he hurt him that devastatingly, I said to myself, okay, the power is there. He was just trying to find a way to get on the inside of a bigger man. But I still think that Crawford could have pressed the issue, stepped on the gas a little sooner, and probably got that kid out of there sooner. And also could have got Jeff Horn out of there sooner.
Okay. Larry Merchant's going to bring his perspective here in a few minutes, but do you see Crawford and Spence hooking it up anytime soon?
God, I really hope so. It'd be a great fight. I mean, you know, like I mentioned in previous weeks, that Arum suggested that he would be in talks with Al Haymon to do super fights like that, big money fights. I would really like to see it. I think both guys are certainly willing to do it. Let's just hope the networks make it happen.
Don King and Bob Arum hated each other. I mean, when they were in the same room together, they'd be on the dice together, right? And you could hear them, like, mumbling each other, like, MF. And, I'm a serious man. They didn't like each other. But, you know, but they'd smile because they were making zillions of dollars. They were willing to work together for the money and to forward their product, obviously, boxing. But promoters nowadays, they all want to bogart their guys. And I think it started with the ESPN dates. Maybe it started before that, but when you had to start buying, not anymore, but we had to start buying ESPN dates from the network for like $12,000, and if you wanted the lighting, you had to pay $20,000. In other words, you had to pay them to put a boxing show on. So if you're paying, if you're a Johnny Signorella and you've got this guy Pedro Fernandez fighting for you in Jersey, and he's like 13-0, and you're going to put him on ESPN, if you're paying for the card, you're not going to pay to get him killed. You're going to put him in there with somebody like Scott Cuddy or somebody like my mother. You know what I'm saying? An easy opponent. Therefore, the quality of ESPN just plummeted at that point in time. And I wonder right now, with ESPN coming back, of course, the apps. And last night, this was on free as ESPN in addition to ESPN Plus, right?
Yeah, the ESPN Plus portion was the untelevised undercard from the doors opening gate, and then ESPN went live. And they only showed two fights, Shakur Stevenson, who I'm a big fan of from Newark, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
where I learned how to box, as a matter of fact, and named after my favorite rapper, Tupac Shakur, so that's pretty awesome. He had a devastating first-round KO over his opponent last night. Looked real good, good-looking prospect. But, yeah, only two fights on the ESPN network last night.
Who do you think killed Tupac? No. That's I wanted a blunt. I wanted a blunt, direct question answer. I didn't want this. I said, who killed Tupac?
I think he's alive and well in Cuba.
Oh, man, I can't believe you said that. I can't. Listen, folks, listen, Signorella's under the influence of alcohol this morning, and I apologize for that. For him to come off with that kind of statement that Tupac Shakur is alive and well in Cuba, I mean, not after the lead that he took, man. Not after the lead. He took some heavy lead.
I know.
I read some of the autopsy, and, you know, obviously, he's a foregone conclusion. But who do you think killed him? I mean, the fact that Suge Knight was there, I think that it goes back to that Netflix movie with Sean Diddy, P. Diddy or Sean Combs. And I think that Sean Combs was at the root of all that kind of good, all that stuff. I think he has something to do with Biggie going, and I think he has something to do with Tupac going. Now, people laugh at me when I say that and say that why would he sacrifice his big star? Because his big star, I think, was possibly moving on. But that's the way the rumors went. That's the way that Netflix movie went. And guess what? Sean Diddy never sued them over that, did he?
No, he didn't. I saw the movie. I saw numerous documentaries on the subject, you know, studied it. I have my theories that are very, very similar to your theories. So, yeah, I'm going to be in agreement with what you said there. All jokes aside, I got to agree with what you said there.
Okay, you're coming back in hour number two. What are we talking about in hour number two?
Future of boxing, upcoming fights to close out the year. We got a busy December coming up. When do you remember December being so busy to close out the year in the sport of boxing? It's unreal. Well, there's a tremendous amount of cards, so we'll talk about the future of boxing coming up.
It was like December 9th, and it was all over at that point in time for the rest of the month.
And it was done until about mid-late January.
Yeah, that's always the way it was. Now back to HBO. HBO going to have one more fight. The Jacobs fight, is that it?
It looks that way. They're trying to get this Canelo fight, I believe, against Fielding. Maybe that'll be regular HBO. I really hope it would be. If they go out, they shouldn't go out with a pay-per-view. And there's talks of, I think, Bivol, the light heavyweight, might have a televised fight in December as well. So there's still a chance that HBO might do one or two more shows.
Good enough. Pound for pound, still the best fight in the world is Oleg Usyk, I believe. I'm sorry to say that. People say to me, how can you say that? Errol Spence? No. I just think that he's monstrous, and I think he's going to be the guy that moves up to heavyweight, and of course, challenges these bigger guys. He's going to be fast. He's going to move around. I think he's got a sneak and bite out of the southpaw stance. There's all kinds of edges that he gives that I give him. Am I wrong? Am I wrong to put money in a cruiserweight, Johnny?
Absolutely not. He's a fantastic boxer, a good puncher. He's got the look. We talk about how scary he is, how intimidating he is. He's got the pedigree. And I think once he gets past Tony Bellew, we'll hear talks of him moving up to heavyweight. I foresee an Anthony Joshua fight in the future for Usyk.
Johnny Signorella returns in hour number two. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, folks. Hey, Ring Talk is nice. Why is it nice? Hey, we come to you twice, baby. iHeart Radio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, of course, the American Forces Network.
Beasts, we're both lions in the jungle, and the best man has to win. So if Dylan wants to fight here, he's more than welcome as well.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now, 800-428-1570.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Check it, 26 and a half minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports File. And, of course, we come to you twice a week, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm live all over the world. The godfather of the HBO crew is in the house. That's right, the retiree himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. Larry, a very good morning to you, sir, on this lovely Sunday morning.
And back at you, Pedro.
Man, we're rocking and rolling. Beautiful weather up here in San Francisco, of course. This is where it sort of comes to an end for us, godfather. I mean, the second week of October is like the end of our Indian summer, so from here on in, it's going to be foggy and ugly for the most part. What about down there? Is it like stay warm year-round?
Well, warmer certainly compared to most places. We have no complaints here. When it's cold here, it would look very warm from other places. But as you know, Mark Twain said that the coldest summer he ever had was the coldest winter he ever had was one summer in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's
you guys have it a little bit more extreme than we do.
That's good old Samuel Clemens himself. Let's talk about Terrence Crawford last night. Of course, he was on ESPN, and he got a pretty good audience, got $3.5 million for the fight. He fought a guy that I wish I had his physical attributes when I was fighting. What I'm trying to say is 6'2", 147 pounds with all that reach, and he didn't put it to good use at all. He tried to be macho and got out-machoed. But seeing he's never been tested, seeing we've never seen Crawford in a fight where we have to flip a coin, how good is he?
Well, I think he's plenty good. We did see him in a fight as a lightweight against a Cuban fighter whose name eludes me and who had quick hands and who gave him some problems early in the fight. But as he customarily does, Crawford manages to figure out a guy's style and strengths and weaknesses in the early round and then break him down, which is what he did. I don't know how much of a test this is. To go out and try to outbox one of the best boxers in the world doesn't seem like a formula for success, which is what Benavidez did. You gotta put more pressure on. You gotta make a fight and find a way. And because Crawford is very patient, he's the true boxer puncher. He usually manages over time to break opponents down. It took him 11 and about 9/10 rounds to do it last night, but he did it.
Why is it training camps don't have a plan B? I never understood this. I mean, when I watched Robert the Ghost Guerrero get prepped for Floyd Mayweather, he was boxing. He was going to attempt to go out there and outbox Floyd Mayweather. I don't get this. When plan A is obviously not going to work, and when you're in the midst of this fight and you realize that plan A is not going to work,
How come there's never a plan B? And, you know, the old trainers, and I hate to say it like this, but Ray Arcel, Eddie Futch, guys like that, they could change, Emmanuel Stewart to an extent, they could change directions in a fight. I don't think this guy's changing directions nowadays.
You're right. When a fighter goes up against a masterful boxer and doesn't try anything except to outbox him, it's like a concession. Okay, you're the better man. You're going to win the fight. I'm going to try to hang with you as long as I can. And given your stature in the business, I'm not going to it's not going to be that big of a loss for me, and I'll just move on. It's a concession right in the middle of the fight. But another thing is that sometimes a style is so deeply embedded physically and mentally in a fighter that he can't change. I mean, we saw even Canelo or Alvarez when he fought Mayweather in what was his most disappointing fight for the very reason that you're bringing up, in that he tried to box with him. He found out early that he was not going to beat him boxing, and he never made the change and lost a lot of stature because not because he lost the fight, but because it appeared that he wasn't trying to find a way to win it, going into another gear. But sometimes fighters are either hypnotized by an opponent and his style, or they just don't have the wherewithal to change. If you've won 20 fights by using a certain style, it's hard to change in the 22nd fight when you're having a hard time. But that's what the best fighters try to do.
Good point. I remember in the Golden Gloves, I was preparing to fight unbeaten Keith Rucker, and my trainer said to me, Chris Gomez says he was 6'2", 139, 140 pounds. We had watched him, had three fights, watched all three fights. We took videos of him. And he says to me, he goes, we're not going to outbox this guy. He goes, we're not even going to try. He goes, you're going to step on, he goes, you're going to step on his foot if you have to and crack him with the right hand. I said, step on his foot. He goes, if he runs, you will step on his foot and keep him in one spot.
Hit him in the hips, hit him in the arms, let him know that
I'm here.
He's not getting off that easily.
Exactly. So he was on the deck about 25 seconds in, and it went the distance. But I remember Tim telling me, he says, listen, don't try to match jabs with this guy. Just get rough him up, man, because that was the plan. Because if you have, you know, in the amateurs, you have to have different styles and different plans because you never know if you're in a tournament, like fighting a 3 or 4 day tournament, Godfather, you might fight 3 or 4 different styles.
Well, that sounds true, and I'm sure your experience underlines it. But if you're a professional fighter getting well paid and in the middle of a big crowd, it's your obligation to try to win and find a way to win, not to say, I'm not going to get hurt, I'm going home, I'm going to have a good paycheck, I'll beat my next opponent. And if you don't do that, then why does anybody want to see you again?
That being said, I've got a couple minutes before the break. When Roberto Duran said no mas in 1980, was that a major sin, or did you forgive him for that?
Forgive him? I don't know. He had built such an amazing record and had such a standing in the game that you felt something was wrong. Now, whether I had friends who thought that he had something wrong internally, that this was the action of a guy who was maybe on something. But also, he was being humiliated by Leonard.
Yep.
And given his macho attitude, he couldn't handle it. A third point was, if you remember, they came back quickly for a rematch. And I think the point of Leonard, who finished the first fight very strongly, even though he lost, coming right back, was at that stage of his career, Duran had a reputation for not being able to
hold his weight.
To train real hard coming back for a fight after a tough fight. So I just think there was a combination of factors, and it was so unusual for a fighter regarded as highly as he was to quit in the middle of a fight, saying, in effect, I can't beat you. You're making me look like a fool. I'm getting out of here. That took some kind of powerful combination of emotional as well as physical things to trigger.
I bring up Duran because we're going to see him in a couple of weeks in Panama, but his ex-manager told me the story. Duran told him that he was weak going into the fight, that he wasn't in the greatest of shape, that he had troubles making the weight, that he was weak, and that he thought that the way it was going, that not only was Leonard dogging him, but that Ray was getting stronger, and he feared that Ray would knock him out. So he figured, you know what, let's put this one in the can, and I can come back and do it again. Obviously,
I'm sorry. If you're a professional fighter, you're not fighting the next fight. You're fighting that fight. And to go there, it must have been something really powerful that invaded his psyche. For a great fighter to just say, no mas, I don't want to fight you anymore. Didn't just recognize how good and great to be that Sugar Ray Leonard was. I don't recall any great fighter doing that, although they may have done it in other ways.
Godfather, let me put you on hold right there, approaching a hard break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Larry Merchant on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby. I got the deal, baby.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent, sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website. WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
He has done it. We have a new heavyweight champion in the world.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. That's 800-814-5188.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
iHeartRadio, an app so powerful, it holds 20 million songs from 450,000 artists, thousands of the best live radio stations, custom stations, and stations created just for you. It's anywhere and it's everywhere. Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download the app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
I told you what I was going to do before I did it. I told you I was going to jab him in the corners. I was going to let him take all the shots.
He was B. Wilson. Any heavyweight is B. Wilson.
Right.
Frazier was, Martin was. I told you this had no skill. I told you he don't hit hard. I told you it would be a total mismatch. George Foreman's still one of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
October 1st, 1975, the last historic confrontation between Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, the largest closed-circuit TV audience in history, was treated to one of the greatest fights in heavyweight history.
People want to see me and Joe Frazier. They still think Joe Frazier can beat me. They don't want to see me and Ken Norton. They don't want to see me and George Foreman. They want to see me and Joe Frazier, although George Foreman annihilated Frazier, and George Foreman will beat Frazier every day in the week. George Foreman will beat Ken Norton every day in the week, and I will beat George Foreman every day in the week.
Right.
But the fools still think that that chump Joe Frazier can beat me because he went the distance twice and it ended up on a close decision. I'm going to give him a real whooping, and I wrote a poem. Some of you heard it, but this is a little conscience. I got a little gorilla here. This is his conscience. I keep it right in my pocket everywhere I go. Back there. And I wrote a short poem. It says it will be a killer and a thriller and a chiller when I get the gorilla in Manila. That's right. And I got his conscience right here to keep me on guard. See, here's the way he looks when you hit him. All night, that's all he's gonna be. All night in Malaysia. That's all you're gonna see. The Philippines, rather. Come on, gorilla. We in Manila. Come on, gorilla. This is a thriller.
The hype was real. Once Ali started calling Joe Frazier gorilla, this got under Joe's skin. Of course, they had issues before, but Joe Frazier told me in Canastota, New York, about 15 or 20 years ago, but that was what really ticked him off, being called a gorilla. Of all the stuff that Ali had said about him prior, the gorilla comment bothered him the most. We are spending time blessed, of course, with the godfather, the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, of course, talking boxing. Larry, Ali, Frazier, will there ever be a duo like that in the sport of boxing that capture the attention of the entire world? Do a Deontay Wilder or an Anthony Joshua have that capability?
It's unlikely that we can see with our own eyes and ears that something that is powerful as that matchup, much like Joe Louis and Max Schmeling decades before, will have the resonance it did because of who they were and because of the highly politicized times at the time and what Ali stood for. And so it wasn't just a clash of great fighters. It was a clash of great social tides and changes. And, of course, they had the two previous fights, and the third fight turned out to be a war of the worlds, a heavyweight fight virtually like no other in terms of the damage they did to each other.
That's true. And, of course, Joe Frazier. But, you know, the reason why I brought this up and I brought that as a the guys in the corner, I knew both the corner men, and so did you, both the trainers, both Angelo Denis, the famed Angelo Denis, but the quiet one as well. I'm talking about Eddie Futch. Eddie Futch, of course, was the man that stopped the fight and wouldn't let Joe Frazier come out after he had seen Joe take all that punishment, I think the 13th round. But those two guys, they were uniquely different men. They both excelled at what they did. And, you know, I look back at Eddie Futch and him in particular. He never had a contract with guys. He shook their hand. I mean, even all the way into the end, and he trained guys well into his 80s. Okay, but he never had a contract. Was he that unique? Dundee signed contracts with the guys, but talk about the two guys and how your relationship with both of them.
You know, of course I knew them. They were around for a long time. and Futch was a master trainer, and whether or not he had contracts or not, he stood up to his fighters. Famously, when Riddick Bowe came out of the Olympics, he didn't want to train him because he had a reputation for not training hard, and Bowe had to prove to him that he would train hard. And Angelo Dundee was a great communicator who understood Ali and watched him in his shticks, what he was trying to sell, and understood, for example, that with Ali, the way to reach him and the way to get him to adapt a particular tactic or strategy for a fight was to make Ali believe that he found that tactic, that it was his idea when it was actually Dundee's idea. But he knew that that's how Ali was wired. So they were men who operated in a different way and got great results.
You know, I'm thinking of the Dundees. Chris Dundee was the promoter, of course, the older brother of Angelo Dundee. And I remember the Duran Leonard fight, the third one back in like 1990. Duran had to be like 75 years old, and they rolled him to the ring in a wheelchair and all that kind of good stuff. He had the Just for Men that I always use myself. He was using that. I mean, Duran was like ancient. And they rolled him out for that, and they waited 10 years, and it just didn't have the effect, of course, that the first two fights had. But back to Ali and Frazier, of course, both of them gone now. Joe had that chip on his shoulder up until the end, because I talked with him many times at Canada. So I remember once I told you he used to charge people for autographs, which I thought was a bit of I thought only Joe DiMaggio got away with that. But he used to charge people for autographs. But he had a chip on his shoulder. No, he didn't have a chip. He had bricks. Why do you think he had two bricks on each shoulder?
Well, I think it was a clash of personalities. Joe came off of a farm in South Carolina, and I always thought he knew that if you planted well and took care of business, that at the end of the season you would have a big crop. Mm-hmm. And Joe put in the time, trained very hard when he was young, because he had to, given his stature and his style, because he was, as Ali used to say, he was a guy who was designed to get hit, but was willing to take hits to get in his own licks. So, while Joe was a great champion, Ali transcended the sport and was an international celebrity, an international social and political force. And, of course, if you fought him, you knew that he was going to help to promote the fight by taking advantage of whatever he could in you. He did it with every fighter. He did it with Liston when he called him the big ugly bear, and he, in what was a kind of psychological warfare and promotion that Ali practically invented.
You know, you brought up Sonny Liston there, and just for a second there, of course, the controversial death of Sonny Liston back, I think, in 1971. I was with Davy Pearl. Davy Pearl was the referee Leonard and Hearns, the first one. Of course, he stopped it in the 14th round with Tommy up against the ropes. And he was also a bellboy. He was a bellboy. Him and his brother were twin brothers. They came from the East Coast. They came to Las Vegas. They made the reputation as bellboys. And, of course, Davy became a referee and a manager. But he was the guy, he and Johnny Taco had Sonny Liston at the time that Sonny passed away. Now, this is what Johnny Taco told me. He had they hadn't seen Sonny, and that the wife said to him, something's going on. So Johnny gets the keys and goes over to Sonny's apartment and gets the keys. The door's locked from the inside. They open the door. They go in. Liston's laying on the bed. His underwear are down around his knees, and he's dead. I mean, that's the whole case right then and there, according to Johnny Tackle. So all this other, this mystery and things like that, I think it's pretty, if you can imagine just a little bit, a male sitting in, and laying in a bed with his pants down around his ankles, you know what time it was. So my thinking was, and I'm not a doctor, Godfather, but I think he sort of maybe had a stroke or an aneurysm and he came and went at the same time.
Well, that's a little bit above my pay grade. you know, but Sonny Liston had problems with the law in St. Louis and in Philadelphia, in Denver, and then finally in Las Vegas. What actually happened, I don't know. I don't know, but it could have. It probably came from some illicit action that he was involved in, because he had always been involved. And but I don't know the actual facts of the matter.
You know, when he was, Chaco was with him in St. Louis, and Johnny told me that he was a monster in St. Louis. I mean, he would just beat people up in the street and things like that. And then he came to Las Vegas, and people thought he was going to mellow out. And he did mellow out to an extent. So was he more of a monster or less of a monster than he's perceived in the media, in the public?
Well, I don't know the monster thing. He came from a family of over, where he was one of over 20 siblings. He was illiterate. That was in Arkansas. He found his way to St. Louis and worked for some bad guys as the muscle. I believe he beat up a cop and wound up in prison where he started to box. He came from the racist, segregated South with all of the ills of that time. And so he did make something of himself coming from that background. I once had a conversation with him in Philadelphia when he came there to train and get himself better known. And he struck me as being intelligent but unlettered. But he didn't know right from wrong in small matters, and his management undoubtedly, some Philadelphia guys, mafia guys, undoubtedly ripped him off, so that he was cynical of everything.
Sort of like Ray Charles, only allowing himself to get paid in $1 bills.
I didn't hear that one.
They burned him too many times. They gave him
right,
like,
and yeah. He was cynical, and I understood that, but it was the path that he went on, mm-hmm. He was a guy who had too many headlines as a heavyweight champion. There were too many headlines about him on the front page rather than in the sports section, of him getting involved with the law, and thinking that because he was the champion he could get away with things that champions weren't supposed to do. So it was complicated, but he was seen at a time of. When Floyd Patterson had come out of the Olympics, and Patterson was seen as a guy who overcame a difficult background to be honest and straightforward and interesting in many ways. So in that sense, Liston became as part of the narrative of the heavyweight division,
the
bad guy.
The wisdom of the Godfather, Larry Merchant. Godfather, say hello to the Godmama. I got to run. Thank you.
Okay. I hope you have a good run.
It don't get no better than that, folks. The Godfather, Larry Merchant on Sports Byline. Eat your heart out, folks. He's on my show.
Just drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-426-3569. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-426-3569 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-426-3569 to see if you qualify. That's 800-426-3569.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Where do you want to go on a vacation or honeymoon? The Caribbean, Europe, Hawaii, Mexico? How about Disney or a cruise? At Superior Cruise and Travel, we've got you covered. We'll assign you your own travel concierge. They'll help you design a custom vacation plan that you can't find online. And the service is completely free. You can't compare the value of this to any other online travel company. We can help you plan a custom vacation anywhere in the world. We even offer payment plans with no credit card required. Now you pay off your vacation on your time schedule. Call now and mention the promo code RADIO and save up to $500. Book your custom trip. Call Superior Cruise and Travel now and talk to one of the highest rated travel agencies in the country with a 5-star A-plus online rating.
800-570-9631. 800-570-9631. 800-570-9631. That's 800-570-9631.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's one of those days, folks. 58 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Straight up, hour number two. I'm going to touch hard, real hard, on Khabib. The guy, of course, is the lightweight champion of the UFC, the mammoth. I mean, he's a monster. 26-0, 27. It doesn't matter. He's never been beaten. Never lost a round, I think, in the world of mixed martial arts. Never lost a round, they say. That's how good he is, okay? And now they want to take his championship and fine him a couple of million bucks because of that brawl with Conor McGregor. Of course, the post-fight brawl. But what people didn't see was that, you know, Conor McGregor evidently clipped a couple of guys or took a... threw some punches after the fight as well. When Khabib went over the cage, Conor was doing his thing as well. He wasn't just laying there on the ground. Evidently, he got cracked a couple times by one of Khabib's teammates. And now Dana White and the Nevada State Athletic Commission want to banish this young man. Khabib says, you banish him, I'm done. So Khabib has thrown the nuclear option out there. Will Dana White bite? We'll find out. Johnny Signorella comes up in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, open phone lines around the world. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. And, of course, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. I'll go through that in hour number two, big time, the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You're tuned in the mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, forthcoming on Sports Byline.